birth of Jesus. Blessed be thy holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for thy grace. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time of coming together, Lord, in the house of the Lord, to fellowship, to worship, Lord, and to hear of your word. We thank you for this fine day, and Lord, now gathering together a people, Father, into thy holy word, and in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your promised Father to be with us. We know your presence is here, Lord. Now we ask that you bless us now, Father, as we go into thy word. May you bless the hearing of the word and the speaking of it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Okay, Brother Russell, you are familiar with that song, huh?
He loves that song.
You love this song. You don't have a second verse, right?
No.
There's no second verse because that second verse was written by me, so
okay.
Yeah, you can take it so you can,
like that song,
you can learn more about that because second one is more important. We'll know more about the word, right? Jonathan, good. Yeah, when children love songs, and it's good about the gospel. Praise the Lord. My throat has been very bad, and I've been having very tight bronchitis, it seems. They've been troubling me for many, many years now, on and on, it comes back and forth. But trusting the Lord for His grace. Alright, let's go to the book of Acts, where we left off in our study of the series. Alright, Acts chapter 10, and we are in verse 23, which would say the last week that we ended up there. Remember again, when you talk about the book of Acts, we are looking at the early church. And when we are looking at the early church, we need to understand how, why God did the, perform those things that He was performing at that particular time. And you can see a lot of miracles, a lot of miracles took place. And we see a lot of healings, we see a lot of phenomena. And that's because God was then starting the foundation for the church. He wanted to strengthen the believers. He wanted to let them see that their Savior Jesus Christ is the very Redeemer of their souls, the great physician, the all in all that they need. And so because of that, we can understand that there are certain words of verses of scripture like what we studied on Friday. And there are people that really misplace scripture with the book of Acts. They do not know, or they do not seem to understand, that when we look at the Bible, we need to understand the timeline. Alright? We cannot just put the cart before the horse. Or that is to say, when you draw a chariot, the horse is in front of the cart. If you put the horse behind the cart, you got the horse to push it. No, you don't do that. So we need to understand, therefore, what we read in certain part of scripture, do not take that out of context. Okay, so one of the contexts that we're going to talk about is, for example, right now, I want to show you something. To the book of Mark 16:16. Are you aware of that passage of scripture of Mark 16:16? 16:16, 17, 18, 19. That verse has been taken by, well, skeptic will say, or confused Christian who do not seem to understand, you know, how to place that verse. Mark 16, Jesus commissioned the disciples, like you find over in Matthew 28:19. But what Mark wrote and what Matthew wrote are quite different. And in Mark, this is the only passage here. And because of that, it's the only passage in scripture. Some, well, Greek says that maybe this is It is not really so that this verse or this passage are authentic. Because the Bible here said in Mark 16, what does it say? It said, in my name, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Take up supper. Drink deadly things. It will not kill them, right? Isn't it so? To them that believe, in verse 16, the dead that believe. So there has been question over on the phone with a brother. I said, brother, that's what a friend of mine, you know, who was in a denomination church, told me that, you know, only true believer can do this. That they lay hand on the sick will recover. And the brother was confused, you know. I said, okay, now he's an Indian, living in India. I said, why don't you tell him does he believe? Is he a believer? If he's a believer, go and take a cobra and see what happened. See whether a cobra bite him or whether he would die. So people have taken that verse, but not realizing that Mark, the record of Mark, the event that Jesus spoke to them was before he ascended to heaven. And so when the day of Pentecost started, the day of Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that was the beginning of the church. And that's the reason why Jesus told his disciples, and these were the apostles. He didn't tell them the rest of the 120 or the 500. You know, only these specific apostles, they were doing something God wanted them to do. That's what we talk about the early church. A first generation apostle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God used them in such a way, in fact, almost every one of them died a terrible death. They were martyred or they were put into a pot of boiling oil and died. And Peter was crucified upside down and given 39 stripes. Think about it. And Paul suffered for it. This was to strengthen the church at that time so that when the apostle died and other men of it came out, that they can understand that these are the disciples, these are the apostles who said, we are witnesses and we have handed the word of life. In the book of John, first epistle of John, we have handed the word of eternal life. And we know what we are saying. That's why Jesus prayed in the garden to the Father. That whatever word they preach, whatever word of the preach, bless them that they believe in the word that they preach. Because the people never seen Jesus, only his disciples, especially his apostles, who walked with him for 3 years more. So they know. And now what happened to the faith today we have? Because there are a lot of people, that's what Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas said, oh, what did Thomas say? I mean, even Thomas was on the disciples sent out 2 by 2 of Jesus Christ. Why? But Jesus came up 2 by 2, they healed the sick. Jesus gave them notoriety to cast out devil, healed the sick, and they came back rejoicing. Even Judas Iscariot did the same thing. Healing miracles. They came back. Oh, even the devil was submitted to us. And Jesus Christ said, I saw Satan like lightning fell from heaven. Don't let pride lift you up. Like Lord Buddha Krishna in India. There are a lot of preachers that get so puffed up. But Thomas, when he was told that Jesus resurrected, so now I cannot believe. What? You have been with Jesus for how many years? And you have given power because of them to heal the sick. And now when the disciple tells him, because he was not there, he saw Jesus, he resurrected. Oh, no. Wow.
I'd rather touch the nail print in his hand and of his side, I would not believe. Remember the nail print. It's a hole. That nail is not a small nail, huh? It's big like a spike. And the spear that poked his side into the side of Jesus Christ, it is not a little size of a chopstick. That's a spear. That's a big hole there. Until I see a touch it, I will not believe it. When Jesus came in that night when Thomas was there. Come here, Thomas. Touch my hand. Touch my side. I guess he must be very curious. Put his finger into that little hole there. Put a finger in the hole. Yeah, it's real, all right. Of course it's real, isn't it? Oh, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. Right? We have not seen Jesus in real life. Perhaps in dreams and vision for some of us. We have never touched his nail print. We have never seen him eat after his resurrection when he walked through a room. They thought he was a ghost. So now, we need to understand. The sequence of the Bible, the event of the Bible, how it unfolds. But today, here, we come to the last day. Faith is required. When you see, you don't need faith. Right? When you see, you don't need faith. But when you believe in the account of faithful witnesses, and how that the Lord, the Spirit of God can work in your life, and stir you up and give you a revelation. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Savior. I am a sinner. And blessed are you. And today, of course, because of all the things that's going on in the world today, the Bible said, as we go move always to the end time, people's love get more wicked, more evil. Right? People do not fear God as much as they the people were in the past. Now people think that, well, we have come to the world where there is utopia. Technology has come so wonderful. What has technology brought to us? More curses, it seems. Look at everybody out there in the train and buses. Their eyes are fixed on self. Playing stupid games. To me, they're quite stupid. They're all doing that, walking around doing this. Sometimes when a man walk before me or they were walk doing this and he walking, I just stand there and let him bump into me. Oh, I'm sorry. I say, of course you're sorry. He's not working where you're going. Technology, what news did you get? They have set up the probe, the mast. The probe to mast, right? They have landed on the mast, that probe. Impossible? Or maybe some people in America say, that's a government conspiracy. A man landed on the moon is not real. Some people don't want to believe it. I remember when I was young years ago when men landed on the moon. I had a friend who was a Muslim. He said, no, man cannot land on the moon. You know, Muslims don't believe that. They say, because one of their, their signs of crescent, the moon. They said, no, that's a sacred thing. I don't know whether that is what the Quran teaches them or because it's just a traditional thing. Because many things that in the religion are traditional. And what do we discover today? Advancement in medical science. Medical science. I was very, very much, taken up by what I saw of the latest documentary that was made. They discovered it was made only 2 years ago. How life came about. How you are formed. I could not believe it. And the scientists have discovered the code. My, I call it my God. That is the code of God. They discovered God's code. Now you think that, oh yeah, we have a sperm and an egg and they multiply, right? But do you know how they formed? And what was the organ? What was the first organ that was formed? How was it formed? You only have a sperm and egg cells, and they multiply to many cells. But then, what happened after that? Suddenly I discovered that there are certain chemicals. They put, I don't know how many chemicals in the world there. And they were observing it. When this chemical stops in this chemical, it forms the heart. The first organ to be formed. Then after the heart is being formed, they are setting up another chemical to form the liver. It's, I couldn't believe it. And they are using those cold, those chemicals in a dish. You know, how they test it? To produce a liver, and it comes to a liver. I said, wow! That's how they could, those stem cells and manipulate all those chemicals now, to what chemicals put together. Hey! We are here today, that's the code. But you know, you write the computer code, what comes together, what you do, you produce this. He says, wow. And what do we have in China, the man who discovered, a doctor who discovered, the expression of gene for a baby? Yes. There comes a time God has called this whole thing to a stop, because man's technology has made them like God, and they don't need God anymore. So when we look into the Bible, we need to understand. The early church, when it started, there was no church before. So the gospel is going out to get the people to see that there is a Redeemer. Is that right? So we need to see how it progressed and to what age we are now. So we cannot just take Mark 16 and just dump it to us today. It don't work that way. You understand that? Okay. Acts chapter 10, verse 23. Now we ended there where the Lord told Cornelius to go to Joppa to look for a man called Simon Peter, who lived in the house of Simon the tenant. So he sent two of his servants plus one soldier, devout soldier to him. And yet while they were on the journey there, God also dealt with Peter, who was praying on a rooftop. And he was sleepy and he got into a trance. And how did God show him a vision? A white sheet that came down three times. White sheet of unclean food, profane food. And he said, no, I'm not going to eat this. When God said, rise and eat. He said, no, I don't eat any of this unclean. And God told him, what? I have certified quite clean, don't quite unclean. But God was actually preparing Peter so that he would not be caught. And remember this, Peter was a Jew and he was very, what we say, religious in the background of still, right? In Judaism. Are you aware of what I'm talking about? There's so many of us when we came up from denomination, we still have that denomination background, that tradition inside us. So it takes a little while to change. So you know what then? God was preparing Peter. That there is going to be this time that you are going to see what I'm doing is that I'm going to you to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So Cornelius was a very devout man and God gave him the grace. And as I said this, we know the Bible says, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And Cornelius was a man who feared God. I believe, as I said this, he is not a pagan. Like those Greek out there in Athens, they worship an altar with the unknown God. So this must be a Cornelius was a man who has, you know, lived among the Jews and have seen how the Jews worship. They don't have idols that they bow to. Perhaps they just worship this unknown God. You know, perhaps in his worship of God and he heard what the Jew call him, Yahweh, perhaps that's what he will call him. He was searching. He was a man who feared God. He knew that there was a creator. And because of that, I believe. And he was a man, as what we read in the Bible, that his prayer came up to God. And so there was a preparation. And then when the three men came, in verse 23, then call him He dug in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. How many men were there that accompanied him? We found later there were 11 men. I mean 6 men. You know, Peter was living somewhere in the home. He had some other believer with him. And now because of the vision he seen, that there will be men come, 3 men come knocking at the door looking for you. God explained to him, and you could go. So when he saw those 3 men, he invited them in. He realized now, these are Gentiles. And coming in, lost them for the night. Now, I guess the rest of the brethren must be wondering, what's going on? And apparently, of course, Peter explained to them, they said, okay, I want some of you brethren to come with me. And that's a wise thing, because there are witnesses to what's going to happen. Because if Peter went alone, there's no witnesses. It's only his word. And it is a custom that the Jew can never, never enter into a Gentile's house. Could never do that. It's supposed to be a taboo thing. A profane thing. You know what the Bible said about the congregation of God? I mean, we're the congregation of God. And the wicked would never be in the congregation, the house of God, when God is present there. You see? And so that perhaps was the reason, and God even said to the children of Israel, you are a people segregated, get segregated unto me, be thou holy unto me. So they considered them so special that they would not go into a Gentile's home. You see? And so, 6 men accompanied him. Verse 24. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And they called together his kinsman and near friend. Wow. He's a man very much loved and respected by his kinfolk and friends. So when he invited them, and probably he told them what he had seen in the, what the vision, what the Lord said to him, and how that he sent his servant to call for this man called Peter, Simon. He explained to them. And his life was such that a man who loved people, hospitable, that when he told the people were just, yes, okay, we'll go. You see, sometimes it's important in our life. People look at our life. If we say that we are Christian and we don't live the life, our word is useless. Really? You say you are a Christian, but you don't behave like one. You say you are a Christian, I don't see your life. Now you are telling me about some miracles? How could I believe? But Cornelius was such a devout man who feared God, who loved people, had such a relationship. And people know his life, so when he asked them to come, they came. Alright. And verse 25. And as Peter was coming, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Well, I think that is kind of perhaps Eastern culture. The Western culture probably do not have that. In the Eastern culture, especially like in India, the Chinese, you talk about holy men. And when you say holy man, you want to bow down. Right? But you don't find that in American culture, or back in those days, they're pretty cultured people, So Cornelius, when God showed to him, Peter came along, because God told him to tell him what to do, and all this. And he thought that this was a special man, or some sort of a man who is divine, need to be kind of worshipped or something. Ultimately, he bowed down to worship him. And Peter said, no, get up. I'm a man. And you know, the devil Jesus was walking in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and people worshiping. The religious people said, "Oh, this is blasphemy. This is what? It's wrong." When he rode into the city of Jerusalem on the court, and the people worship, right? Oh, wow! The Pharisees, religious people said, "Oh my goodness, this is wrong. Tell them to shut up." And what Jesus said, he will tell them to shut up, the stone will even cry out. You see? So it's people, well, you know, people look to some great man of God, some servant of God, some prophets, and they worship. So Cornelius, when we take in the Peter, was one of them like that, and well, Peter said, "No, get up, I'm also the man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many were come together. All, already. You see, this is a great thing. Cornelius raised a man to bring Peter. And he already found all his kinfolk, the neighbors, the friends, "Come, there will be a man who will come here. What to do? Come and listen." You see, when they came, Peter went in, they were waiting for him. It's not that when Peter went in, Peter would sit there and wait for 2 or 3 hours so that people can come together. It's the same thing when we come to the house of the Lord. Don't make God wait for you. Come to the house of God early and wait for God to come. Right? Alright. And he said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation? But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Huh? Okay, let us look at some of the verses of Scripture why this is so. Can somebody read Leviticus 18:24-30? Leviticus 18, verse 24 to 30.
"Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of you, any of your own nations, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, shall ye keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God."
Amen. Right? Deuteronomy 7:3-12. Brother Henry, you got it? Deuteronomy chapter 7:3-12.
"Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord bought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his commandments to a thousand generations, and repay them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep, and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers.
Amen. That's another one. Ezra. Ezra chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. Saw it? Read it.
Which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the land, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong, and eat the bread of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever.
Right. And you can see it over in John chapter 4, verse 9, just the one verse. Then said a woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, hast drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jew have no dealing with the Samaritans. And that you can see here. The Jew, you know, have all these laws, and they will keep this law. But when the gospel came, God is trying to break this law, because it's already been fulfilled in Christ, to let the disciple know, to let Peter, the apostle, and the church and believer know that the partition between the Gentile and the Jews are broken. And those that we consider unclean at once upon a time, when I select you or elected you or chose you as my people, so that you will become, you know, a light to the Gentiles. And true enough, of course, it was through them that the Lord Jesus came, became a light to the Gentiles. But of course, it takes a little time, you know, to make God's people understand. And that's why when you talk about the message that we have in this precious time, it's very hard to get the people to understand, to bring them out of the system, to turn them back to the Word. And, well, you know, people who are religious tend to worship men. Right? Now we have people worshiping Brother Branham. And you know, one preacher got so much deep into Branhamism that Brother Branham became his God. Huh? And even dared to challenge the Jesus to kill him or to smite him. And he was smoked dead. And then you have another one that I sent it to you. Right now in Malawi, well, that man had been around for a couple of years, and he believed that not to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, but to pray in his name. And he is known as the Lord Overton Christ. He prophesied in 2016 about the Hillary Clinton. Oh no, the rapture will take place 2016. It didn't come to pass. And yet what they do to it? You know what they say? Oh, Brother Abraham also prophesied 1977. It didn't happen. The man is going to send him to trouble. Made himself friends. But he's not the only one. He has always been here and there. Over there in the West Africa, there's another. Common. This thing is going on. I have met some already. Well, one over in Mississippi, Missouri. There's one over in New Zealand. I think probably he passed away a long time ago, I guess. Everybody wants to be the one. Well, you want to be the one is one thing. But if you want to be the one, then it's to be called Elohim. To be called Lord Christ, you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. You're already cursed with a curse, and you don't know it. But the people that are following are so deceived. See? So how do you tell these people? You know, Christ had to deal with the apostles to let them understand that the gospel is not going to the Jews, I mean to the Gentiles. I'm breaking down the word partition that they may be grafted into the original olive tree. They are the one olive, they are the dogs. But there are no more dogs. Yeah, I thank God that we were once dogs, but we are no more dogs. We are now God's sheep. Right? No more 50 dogs. Let us continue. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent you have sent me. What the Lord showed to me in the vision, not to call the unclean, and you know I cannot step into this Gentile hole. The Lord told me to come, you sent for me, so what is it now that you want of me? Get straight to the point, that is to say. Don't waste time, right? And Colina said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He was fasting. Yeah, I mean, people really say, no, don't go and fast and worship an idol. If you are fasting, you want to know about the true God, you are fasting to know about the truth for any sinner who really wants to know about God. You know, as I said when I was young, my father's first wife, you know, she was an idol worshiper. Well, there's a mixture of religion in Chinese, Taoism, Confucianism, Buddhism. And most people actually believe in Taoism. And because of this ancestor worship thing. And but yet we still have a little bit of Confucius in there. And so, well, I look at those idols as nothing. I know this has eyes and mouth and legs and eyes, but they don't speak, they don't hear, they don't walk. But in my heart I know that there is a creator. I don't know anything that my mom told me about the Lord Jesus. Oh, that sounds good. Something caught my heart. Something caught my spirit. You see? So if there is a desire in the heart, deep in the heart to know truth, that's what I'm talking about. This brandomism, this spirit out there, this denominationalism. People are trapped by spirit in a bondage to their tradition that they're accustomed to. Well, this is what our church believes. Well, this is what it's supposed to be. Why? Why don't you look into the Bible? When I tell people who are in the anti-message, who are so deep in Brother Branham, into all his quotes, and even tell them about how the many of these preachers out there are so deep into it that they make Brother Branham Lord and God, they don't want to hear one. He doesn't know. Let me tell you something here. If you don't move away from that thing, that spirit, and into the Word of God, you're going to get stuck there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Look at charismaticism. People are so deep into it, they believe those things are real. They follow Benny Hinn, Peter Popoff, and many others. And what about the Malawi? They follow this overtone, this preacher, and they wear the t-shirt, huh, with his picture on it, and call him Elohim. Lord overturned Christ. And the servant died in his right hand. Do you see the picture? If you don't tap on the picture, you will not enlarge for you to see the what's written below it. Wow. So he is the Christ that holds the seven stars in his right hand. Think about it. The devil will send you such a strong delusion, you'll believe a lie. Oh, but again, I'm not into that. I believe Abraham was the prophet of God. He said this, he said that, he said this. He's the absolute. Well, you already gone into it. That's the beginning of your journey. And people don't understand that the prophet never points to himself. He always points to Christ. Point to the Word. And yet they don't even understand what the message is all about. Huh? Alright. So he said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That's what I'm experiencing, you know. Think about it. Quite an experience that you're fasting, seeking the Lord, and suddenly there's a bright light. Oh, the brother was talking about when he was I think it was a cave or what? He was praying, and then he saw a light came. And then the light appears to man. Huh. Quite an experience. Now you're not dreaming. That's why my mother was so excited when she was in the room reading the Bible. And in the night. And then suddenly he said the room became very cloudy. And then began to see angels are flying. He was so excited, he told me on the phone, if my eyes are open, I said, I know. You know. And so the communion table, the disciple with Christ. A sign to him that you need to commune with the Lord. Real communion with the Lord. You know what I mean by real communion with the Lord? It's your daily walk. And when you come to church, you come to church. What? Which one? You come to church with your Bible. Not your iPhone. Not your me phone. Not your iPad. Right? Not your Samsung. The Bible says scripture. Not electronic, digital. On the cell phone. Or else you'll never learn. Believe me. Believe it. If you want to study at home on a computer, you want to do a fast search on a computer, that's fine. Let me give you some encouragement. You want to start doing, and you want to get to know more about the Bible, the Word of God, open your Bible. Because, you see, with the Bible, it's like, tell the Ecclesiastes. Where is it? Huh? Where is it? And what do you do? Cell phone, search. Right? Fast. But you'll never learn. You turn the Bible so you know where the books are. And you write notes on it. Don't be afraid to dirty your Bible. I said this. The Bible is a book to be studied, to be used. Not to be kept so holy as if it's a holy book. It's not so holy that it's so sacred that you cannot write anything on it. It is not about the black words on white paper. The Holy Word of God is what was spoken by Him, not what was printed. Remember this. The Jews of old, the scripture, or as the Bible said, the prophets were read every Sabbath day. What does it mean by the prophets were read? It means the scripture written by the prophet. The book of Isaiah, they open it up and they read it. Huh? And those scroll to them very holy. They put it all up there. But did they learn anything? Today we have all this, the Bible being the bestseller. You take the Bible, write on it, learn, script on it. And if you have to take a highlighter and circle that particular verse that the Lord speaks to you, you circle it. This is a special verse because God spoke to me. And you will treasure it. Huh? If you don't use the Bible, you know what? I have a dozen Bibles in my home. I tell you the truth. I save my money just to buy them. There are different versions of the Bible that I could get. Repository, cross-reference, check it out. But this is my Bible that I use most often. And this Bible, how old is it? Was like in the 1960s. That's old. How many years is that? 50 years. And this book has, this Bible has been reborn twice. Sent for binding first time, now second binding. That cannot be a binding one because I couldn't see the center enough. You know, because they have to cut and restitch the whole thing. I had to open up to see what's inside there. And my notes are all cut off. Use a Bible, use one Bible that you get so used to it. Because today you don't need many Bibles, because you have electronic when you study. You can refer to it all, just to check on it. But there are certain Bibles that you cannot, or you have to buy, like Amplified Bible, you have to buy, if you want. You see, I encourage you, brothers, to love the Word of God, to be really real to you in studying it. Okay, so now let's go on. Answered, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of one Simon, a tenant by the seaside, who, when he come, shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I said to you, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Yeah, now I realized, truly, God is no respecter of person. Whether you're Gentile, whether you're Samaritan, whether you Romans or Grecians or whatever, God is no respecter of person. Wonderful, huh? But if you go back in the Old Testament time, it's all about the Jew. And yet God, there is grace for the Gentiles who want to come into the nation of Israel. They get circumcised and they become proselyte into that nation. You see? So, but now here of course, the gospel. And the gospel is so special that Peter think that that's only for the Jew, you know. But now something wonderful is happening. But in every nation, he that fear him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So he that fear him, any nation, anyone who fear God, the one fear is reverent God, have a respect for God, an honor for God. You know, a lot of people, they don't believe in God and all things. And even sometimes you can hear when people get all very upset, these hooligans, and they curse God. They use power against God. Of course, they just use the word God. They don't say Jesus or what. But in America, it's very common. Jesus' name is so often used, right? And they don't have fear of God. But those who fear Him, go on. It doesn't matter whether you're a pagan or not pagan, you really fear Him. Not fear your colleague. Huh? Not fear your idol, whatever, your idol's name that you have. Like in ancient times, they fear Ashtaroth, Milcom, Baal. Huh? You fear God like Cornelius, who know that there is one God up there. Their spirit that cannot be seen by the natural eye is not made of wood or bronze, metal, whatever. And that kind of person, God is looking down. Huh? It's true. Let me tell you something here. China is 4,000 years old. Huh? The Christianity was only 2,000 years ago. Before Christianity, before Christ, you have Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism, at least about a few hundred years before Christ was born. And here we see this all in China, right? But before that, go earlier, after the flood. You know how the story of the Tower of Babel and caused people to split up. Isn't it? But before that, the Bible tells us that the descendant of Shem, Eva, and had the son called Peleg and Jotham. The migrated east, Peleg went down to Shinai, and Jotham. What the Bible tells us, he went eastward. And he had 13 sons. And I believe that Jotham went to China. And they carried with him for 4,000 years to China. They went over there, what did they worship? In ancient times, they were called Shunti. That's only one God. It's not an idol. They don't have any image of him. Shunti. Tian Gong. Tian. They worship him. But what happened to the one true God that they worship? What happened? By and by, either came in. Religious men start to have the understanding of what God is. Like today in Christianity, they think that God is three persons. And they even draw pictures of it. God the Father is with white hair. Huh? White beard. The Son is auburn, dark hair, brown hair. With a beard. And the Holy Spirit. They don't know. They would draw a dove. The imagination of man is so vain. And this is what happened. And what happened to Christianity? After 300 years, it started to form into a mixture of paganism. The same thing when Jordan moved eastward with his children, 13. China is bigger. It is the only one you mentioned in the Bible that had 13 children, 13 sons. Not children, 13 sons. Think about it, must be a big family. And how many years later, when paganism came in? And here we know in the Chinese character, you also know, huh? You probably have seen it. Go to YouTube, go there and look for it. How did the Chinese character will show you the one true God? And when we saw the event of Noah's day, one bird, eight mouths above the water, the ark is mentioned there. Even the creation of Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us it's in the garden, there was the character is there. Huh? Right. And even tell you that there's one man going to hang on the tree. They'll show you that. That's why I said this. Paleo Hebrew and Paleo Chinese character are very similar. When you go into ancient time, how you draw like those words. But it's hard to say. Things change. So now, verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Remember this, we are witnesses of all things. That's why the Acts of the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, will say, God working, you know, his action of the Holy Spirit through his apostles. to establish the church, because they were the one who witnesses, to witness everything regarding the life of Christ, the work he performed, the word he speaks. You know. Alright. God raised up the third day and showed him openly. How? When Christ resurrected, he was shown to the disciples. Not only just the 12, but 120 also. Huh? And was seen. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So how long did Jesus Christ spend his time on earth after his resurrection before he ascended? Huh? About 40 days. Wow, that was, must be a fantastic time, huh? To have the resurrected Christ come and eat with you. Wow, just think about it. What glorious day it will be when our bodies change and we set up there with Christ and we also feast with him. Don't worry, you can eat. If you want to, no problem. Yeah, what would Israel do? I will ask, perhaps the angels and ministering spirit of God bring me some durian. Huh? But a great time. But we will be feasting around the word of God, of yours, of course. Alright. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. The judge of quick and the dead. What do you mean by that? That's King James Version. Judge of the quick and the dead. Quick means those who are living, who are still alive, moving around, kicking. The dead means those who, of course, died. So he's the judge of the living as well as the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believe in him shall receive remission of sins. Why Peter yet spoke this word, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was poured out the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Very interesting, huh? What do you think? Well, no, Peter was a Jew, and then you have six Jewish believers with him. He was just preaching, and I mean, he was preaching a sermon, right? He didn't even end with it. And wow, the congregation of people start to speak in tongues. They were now speaking in Grecian language, not what they're speaking in, you know, Persian or what, but they were speaking in a language that Peter and the brethren can understand. Obviously Hebrew. Huh? Think about it. Wonderful, huh? And they're speaking Hebrew in a tongue that they understand. This was a sign, remember? This was a sign to be shown to them that now the Gentile is given eternal life. They have the Holy Spirit of life. Of course, they were shocked. The seven of them were shocked. So, wow. Now here, we have this witnesses. They saw this whole thing. Alright, so that would give support to Peter when he went to Jerusalem later. 11, chapter 11, Acts 11. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, then they were of the circumcision content with him. Obviously, I have been contented. When I always meet some of these people, hey, look at what are you preaching? You are preaching that there's still mystery in the Bible. The brother Bell never revealed all mysteries. They're content with me. I don't know how these people heard about it. I met them the first time or second time, they must have heard from somebody. I said, yes, I don't believe it. That all the mysteries are revealed to Abraham. There's still mystery. Oh, no, 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 he revealed everything. Huh? He asked me, what is not revealed yet? And I asked him, did Abraham reveal the sin of heaven? Huh? And then in a few months, they said, did Abraham talk about, or ever talk about, the battle of Ezekiel 38, 39? Huh? No, no. Then it was through the whole thing. He said, no. It's all revealed anyway. And how Abraham never taught? It's not important. I said, okay, to you it's not important, but to me it's important. Because the Bible is inexhaustible. You can never say that you know everything in the Bible. You can only generally say, yeah, I know. This. Well, how much do you really know? You know what? I'm 70 years old now. I have been in, 71 coming out next year, January. That is to say, I have almost in the Christian faith for almost 60 years. And the Bible, I'm still digging like a worm. You can never say that you know everything. I'm still learning, I'm still studying, feeding on it. Like a, what we call a bookworm, huh? You know, dig all over the road to find whatever you can find. So you're telling me the Abraham had everything? Even Paul did not have everything. But it's all Abraham preached what Paul preached. So you're saying that Abraham knows everything about Paul preached, and then Paul knows all things, finished everything. Then well, how come he wasn't given the revelation that was given to John? Huh? Is that right? Okay. And what about Revelation chapter 23? Huh? It's not your dream. The Bible is still continuing writing, you know? There's still the future to go. As Jesus said, he don't do my Father work, and I work. Oh, when you talk about Jesus said like this, the Father work, the Son work, what about us? We are going to work. There will be work for us in the future. No, everybody think that the Bible says everybody's going to heaven and rejoice and everything. Hey, there's future out there. The Bible, God don't tell you anything. There's work for us to do. Right? As well, NASA is trying to explore all the universe, all the planet out there. But when the devil Christ comes and heaven and earth is set up, we don't have to worry. We know we can go to Mars, we can go to Jupiter. Because we are in the spiritual body. There's work for us to do. I don't know what God is going to do beyond that. Beyond this earth. Or he just said, God just wants us to sit down and play around. And God sit down there on his throne and see us little children having, you know, fun and rejoicing before, like, you know, like a patriarch or matriarch. When they're old, in their 70, 80 years old, sit at home and see all the sons and all the little grandchildren running around. Oh, I'm so happy. Is that what God is trying to do? Oh. So, don't forget. We are preparing for work too. Not for eternal life alone. Okay. And they contended with him, saying, you went into men uncircumcised, and they eat with them. Of course, it's been questioned. Right? As I said, you know, Jerusalem, they are all, those elders, they are very, very staunch in their tradition. And Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and explained to it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw the vision, a certain vessel descended, as it had been a great ship, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw 4 foot of beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Oh, so you have full description. 4-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowl of the air. And remember this, that the Jews are not allowed to eat certain food. Right? Alright, so, and the voice, I heard a voice saying unto me, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." And I said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean at any time enter into my mouth." But the voice answered me again from heaven, "What God hath cleansed, that call not common." And this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, in there there was 3 men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit begged me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, "Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remember I the word of the Lord, how that he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gives them the like gift as he did unto us, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? Then I could withstand God?" Good question, huh? You see, big question, and I think that is an important thing, that an event that God showed to Peter about the gospel going to the Gentiles. And having the 6 witnesses, 6 men that went along with him, now Peter knew he would be questioned, obviously. News reached the elders in Jerusalem and they questioned him. And Peter rehearsed all the things that happened. Right? And of course the elders, I believe they were sitting down there, you know, to listen and see what actually happened. But you know, Peter was, a big guy. Alright, even though he was a big guy, they still would want to question him. Why did you do this? And sometimes, you know, people said to me, "Brother Ken, why are you questioning Brother Branham?" I can tell you one thing, if Brother Branham was alive, I would have a lot of questions to ask him. Sure. Right? We still have a lot of questions to ask him. I have. I don't know whether you have them, but I know I have. Lots of questions. You know? And he would have to explain what he should be. Not like one minister from Germany, he'll brush it aside and say, "No, I'm called to preach, not to answer your question." Wow. Well, every one of us need to give an account of our faith. We, you know, give detail or give an answer to every man who asks of our faith. So now the disciple, the elders of Jerusalem was asking Peter, "What this thing? How is it that you can do this?" Peter told him everything. And they have to believe what Peter said, because Peter said they are the witnesses. Right, isn't it? Of course. You know, now, if it wasn't Peter, for example, let's say it was you, and being questioned, I don't think you'd like to be questioned. That's why that German minister don't like to be questioned. Huh? I don't mind being questioned. You can ask any question. That's all over in Nigeria when that minister from Canada sit down across the table, and the first thing he'll hear after our prayer over the food and start to eat, before I could even take a mouthful, he start to ask me a question. Huh? What is it that you said that there's no more, there's still more mystery to be revealed? I don't mind being questioned. Then I answer him. Now I ask him a question, he couldn't answer. Then what did he do? Oh, everything is finished. What well, about all things? You see, that's the man who doesn't know the Bible. If somebody asks about your faith in Jesus Christ, what are you going to tell them? They ask you a hard question, what are you going to tell them? How are you going to tell them? Oh, I've got to read the Bible. Is that what you would tell them? Huh? What do you believe in Jesus? Well, you aren't saying. You're going to ask more questions. Ask more questions. Sometimes you ask so many questions, you feel that, what's this man? You feel in your heart, you resent it. If you resent people asking about your faith, then you do not know your faith. Do you all know what I'm saying? Yeah. I have been witnesses over in the hospital where I work. Everybody knows me there. And most of them, in the tea time, they ask me question after question. I answer. And they make fun of me. Oh, I just answer the question. Because in the end, when the truth is going out, it breaks their heart. Yes. Right? They think that they are smart. When I give them the answer scripturally, and they realize that they are sinner, they get all upset. And they get to say all kinds of things. And brush it off. Well, the blood is in your own hand. Everybody has an opinion, no doubt. You meet someone like Brother Jordan said, and they met, you know, too many were talking. How do they all have an opinion? Everybody has an opinion. When it comes to religion, that's a lot of opinion. Sure. You know. But we will know the truth. Don't try to act high and mighty. Peter did not say, hey, look, man, why are you questioning me? Don't you know I'm the big guy? I'm the one who's preached on the day of Pentecost? Huh? Isn't it? Well, there are a lot of preachers just like that. And just because you know, because God used you in a certain way, don't act high and mighty. No. I have seen so many preachers out there. Wow. They're no next to nothing. And yet they can act high and mighty. And I make to look very small, no problem. You should see the photograph that was taken when I was in Nigeria. The pastor who organized the convention. And I was invited there to preach. My. There was this Canadian man that he wanted to take some with because there's money coming in. Because I wonder how he got such a beautiful church. So when we went to the Chinese restaurant to eat, you know, you should see how you know, Chinese table, they're quite a big round table. I was the only one to sit one side. The pastor and the Canadian minister and the wife sat there together, three against one. Huh? You know you click, right? Pick side. I don't mind. I have always been, you know what they always say is, if you have been attacked because of your faith, abused because of your faith, you know you are in the truth. Look at Jesus, he was abused. Right? Look at John the Baptist, he was abused. Look at the disciple, look at the apostle now, they were abused. But they stand their ground on the faith. So many times I look at the moment. You know, you see this moment, you know, they go 2x2. You can always see them wear a white shirt and black trousers with a black tie, right? You all know that, the moment, but you never seen them. Oh. And I always like to, if I get approached, I don't intrude into them, you know. I would like to really talk with them. And when I talk with them, I would like to share with them one simple question and let them just think about it. Where was Jesus Christ born? And I always them to turn to the book called Alma. Chapter 7, verse 10, I think of 10, 7. First, I will ask them, where was Jesus born? You believe in the Bible and you believe in the Book of Mormon? That they are both inspired by both authority of God's Word? He said, alright, where was Jesus born? And tell us in the world, say, where was Jesus born? Anybody tell me? Come on, tell me, where was Jesus born? Are you sure?
Yes.
So Abraham said, Bethlehem. I said, you sure it's Bethlehem? He said, yeah. Okay. But then tell me about a moment. Alma. So the 7 or 10 or 10 7. I can't remember which one. I read it. When they turned and read it, they were shocked. Because Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. He was born in Jerusalem. I asked them, can you explain this? That's only one thing that always approached them. And then, what is this class? But of course, some were trying to explain it to them. That Jerusalem and Bethlehem were the same city around together. I said, look, you know how many miles apart they are? 4 miles apart, or 7 kilometers away. And one is called a town, the other one is called a city. It's going to be together. So I would trust that book a moment. And let these two men go home and think about it. And perhaps, of course, when they approach the higher of heaven, perhaps other things will share with them and try to explain it away. I don't know. I never heard that. You know. Alright, so let's come in and end some part of it. So let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. Read it, whoever got it. 1 Corinthians 10, 32.
Corinthians 10, verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God.
Right. So this is our conduct. We don't give people offense. For the ex one of mighty. You know, Peter didn't do that. The elders were concerned that he might be breaking the custom. And of course, Peter then explains everything clearly. Alright, let's go on to verse 18 now. When they heard this thing, they held their peace. And they glorified God, saying, then have God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Think about it, huh? We were once called dogs. Even the woman, the Samaritan that came to Jesus, Jesus used the word dogs. Because that is just a speech where we Gentiles are nobody. So now the gospel has gone to the Jew. But don't forget, later on as we continue with the gospel or the book of Acts, you begin to see that the Jew, many of them, still do not believe. Huh? They still find hard to accept Paul's revelation later on. Because the revelation that God is giving to the church, it's a process, process. It's progressive, as you say. Revelation of God never stops. How much do we know about God? How much can you say we know about God? We only know God as much as we know all from the Bible. That's all that we know. What else beyond that? And that's why you know the mind is always there. There are people who say, oh, God is invisible, you'll never see Him. Right? God is a spirit, it's like a vapor. No. It's not like a vapor, it's not like a smoke that's flying around. God is a spirit, and a spirit has form. You don't seem to understand. Look at the angels. They are spirit beings. Do they fly around like a smoke, like a cloud? No. They have form. And what form is that? The form is what we have. Like this. We were all created in the image and likeness of God. The same angels. Right? Remember? We were created in His image, in His likeness. So God, how does God look like? Same like this,
amen.
Only in a spirit form. Huh? You know, Well, as Colin has said, you know, when I was fasting and praying here, it was a bright light, a person came. That's the angel of the Lord, right? Correct. Wow, I tell you, some people have imagination. This is how I read some of this testimony out there in the charismatic church. I don't believe one bit of it. They all cook up to try to sell books to lie to the people. Angels, they have wings. I saw an angel with wings talking to me. An angel doesn't have wings. Tell me one angel ever have wings. And people don't believe them. But the Bible said an angel have wings. Some have a pair of wings, some have two pairs, some have six pairs. What does it mean? Always we speak of what? Speak of flight. But you think the angel need wings to fly? They don't even give us the understanding. The angel can come from heaven, right here, standing right before you. Amen. You think they have wings like a bird and they fold it up and they put behind? And I said, these angels have wings, I would have wings too. But they don't seem to understand this sort of thing. Huh? And then when we sing a song, sweet Lord, sweet chariot. Huh? From coming for the carry me home. Where this song come from? It's because it's related over to Elijah's being cut away. And when we look into the book of Elijah, when he was cut away, I think in 2 Kings somewhere, but how does it say? How was Elijah cut away? Was he cut away by the chariot of fire or what? And everyone said, he was caught away by the chariot of fire. No. He was not caught away by the chariot of fire. He was caught away by a whirlwind. Read it. Elijah was there, he saw. Here was the chariot. Here was the horseman. And he said, my father, my father. The chariot and the horseman of Israel. What is he talking about? The same thing when Elisha was taken away when in death, another prophet also cried out the same. My father, the horseman and chariot of Israel. Means that they are the protector. Elijah was the protector, the advisor. The prophet of God, the man who stood before God and his people. So he was crying out. But that fire that came down looks like a chariot, looked like a horseman, was to separate Elijah from Elisha. And then the whirlwind came, took Elijah up into heaven. Was not the chariot of fire, was not the horseman. That was when Elijah saw that he was that man of God who stood in between God and Israel, the defender. Huh? God's defender for the people of Israel against all those corrupt nation and pagan nation that comes against them. Remember how Elijah stood against the prophets and false prophets? Elijah did the same. Right. My father, my father. The horseman and chariot of fire of Israel. Wow. That's right. So when I said it's very time we read the Bible, we take it. Swing low, sit chariot, and that's all we know. So everybody wants to get into a chariot and go home. But you know the day will come we are not going to go on a chariot. We go on a special transport. We can call it Philip's transport. And we'll be out of this world in an instant. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Father. For your love for us, for the Holy Word, Lord. What wonderful blessing, Father. For the family in the household of Colinius, how they receive your blessing, the gift of eternal life, just because of one man, Colinius, who fear you, Lord, and desire to know him. Did all his prayers to live the life knowing that there is a creator that he must stand before in the day of his death and stand before in the day of his judgment to give an account. And he fear you, Lord, in honor, and live the holy life, and much prayer, Lord, going up towards you. And certainly, Father, such the man that you love, such a man who sits after you, and knowing the Lord, when you heard his prayer, you send your grace down to him and brought forth the gospel to him and all his household. And when you heard it, their heart receiving your word, in that instant they receive your spirit of life. Wonderful Lord. We are thankful, O Father, for all this that you have recorded in your holy word as an edification for us, an admonition, O Father, how we should walk in our life as a Christian. Let us all be worthy of it, Father, of the gift that you've given us. Father, we commit the rest of the day to your hand now. That you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.